Yeah.
Wake up, Bay Area.
This is amazing.
With Sarah and Vinny.
You stole the car and let that guy drive?
Alice at 97.3.
Ain't nothing to complain about. It's Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. There they are, One Republic, stars of Alice in Winterland. Keep it here all day, 9, noon, and 5 p.m. We have your chance to not just instantly win a pair of tickets for Alice in Winterland, but also to potentially get front row tickets. We'd love to be looking right out at you in the front row. I must be in the front row. December 13th, Paramount. All the details on that are at RadioAlice.com. You can also buy tickets there, RadioAlice.com. This part of the show is brought to you by the Sarah and Vinny Facebook page. Everything we talk about on the show goes up there on the Sarah and Vinny Facebook page. I already posted 20 things this morning. It's a perfect resource for choosing your next movie or show. Make sure you stay updated and check out our Facebook page. Actually, I think the last thing I threw up there was the pictures of Charlie Sheen's daughter, Sammy, and her new boobs.
Mm.
Just a nice little karma moment for him. Over the weekend, Venom held on to number one. Venom is out 2 weeks now. It made another 26 mil, about 90 million total domestic. The Wild Robot moved back up to number two.
Okay.
That's a good movie. Yeah, that's made, it's been out 6 weeks. It's made about $121 million domestically. Smile 2, that fell a spot. Which is sort of surprising because it was kind of Halloween weekend, but I guess everybody went and saw it last weekend. But, you know, still third place. Something called Conclave. I think that was that one about the Pope or something.
Uh-huh.
That was number four. Something called Here, which I think is the Tom Hanks movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's all shot
over a long period of time.
Right. I think it even starts like in, you know, in the primordial soup, like, the camera's there.
This spot on the planet,
camera trained at it, and here's what grew up around it, and it becomes like the living room of this house. And we talked about that quite a while ago. We weren't here on Friday, so I didn't mention that it was out, but that is in limited release, I believe. So it only made $5 million. Good for fifth place. We Live in Time, Terrifier 3. Oh, Beetlejuice, still in the top 10 at number 10. Oh, there you go. Couple box office things. And now on to this gross stuff. Russell Brand is now facing sex offense charges following three grillings by cops weeks after a party clip of him with Diddy was branded sick. I don't know about this story. It's, you know, we've heard a lot of stuff about this guy.
Russell Brand, you mean?
Yes, Russell Brand. So this is it's from Radar Online. It's speculatory, but I'll tell you what they've got here. They're saying Russell Brand could potentially face sex offense charges. Police questioned him on three separate occasions. They're saying the allegations against him have recently, let's see.
Is this guy even still in our country?
I think he's in England. And I don't know where Radar Online is based, but they're saying, I thought it was here.
He was red hot for a minute there. But I feel like, I don't know if it was some kind of groundswell cancellation or what. I don't know what he did. I know that, you know, him and Katy Perry divorced, and I don't know if he had specific allegations against him, but he's been invisible as of late, and I'm pretty sure he's back in England.
So
he did sell his house in Los Angeles.
Okay.
So, that makes sense.
And it says, I mean, at least of last year he was living in England.
Okay.
There's a story that's sort of enclosed in this thing where Radar Online is reporting that he's being interviewed and there may be some charges, although they're not saying anything specific and nothing further than what we've already kind of heard from him. But Radar Online is saying that he's been accused of rape, assault, and emotional abuse by several women. One claimed that he, Russell Brand, was under the influence, smelled of alcohol, and was carrying a bottle of vodka. He then exposed his wiener to me on set and in full view of the cast and crew.
Oh, this was while working.
Yes. Oh, my God. Some of this stuff that's in this story is about him and Diddy on the set of Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Oh, now he's a guy who's since quit, right? Or was this like he's supposed to not be drinking, but is?
No idea.
Okay.
He's relapsed.
So he is supposed to not be drinking and is?
Yeah. I mean, he was big on sobriety. And I think he, yeah, I don't know what his status is now.
Part of this lady's accusations are that not only did this guy show her his junk and was drunk, but then had a production crew member guard a door that he was trying to assault her behind. So he followed her into a bathroom and assaulted me as a member of the production crew guarded the door from outside. Not awesome. That happened. Let's see. So these incidents were said to have taken place, not just this one lady's, but these other incidents that are alleged as well, between 03 and 13. One accuser who said she was 16 years old at the time said that he sent a BBC chauffeur to pick her up from school during their alleged 3-month relationship. Amid these allegations, there's a clip from the film Get Him to the Greek, and that's resurfaced on Twitter, which they say here. Now, I saw Get Him to the Greek, and I remember it was about a badly behaved rock star that needed to get to a certain place, and this, and like maybe Seth Rogen or something, his entire job was to make sure that this guy showed up at the thing. That's really all I remember about that movie.
It wasn't Seth Rogen, it was,
Jonah Hill. Okay. Yeah. One of those guys. You know the group. Pick one of them. So Get Him to the Greek. This clip surfaces on Twitter and it shows Sean Diddy Combs, his character, sexually trafficking a woman named Destiny. I do not recall this, but okay, I don't even remember that Diddy was in this thing. After she answers, he says, "Excuse me, come here for a second. What's your name?" She says, "It's Destiny." He says, "Destiny, pay attention. You're going to go and have sex with Aaron right now," which I guess is Russell Brand's character. I really don't know. In another video filmed around the time the film was in production, they can be seen, Brand and Combs can be seen flying off to Vegas in a private jet. The rapper introduces Russell Brand as a dear friend as they talk about how they're going to find some women to have sex with, which as a standalone thing is something that dudes might talk about.
Well,
but you color it with the conversations we've been having about this guy.
Most guys have had that conversation and then most guys go home alone. Mm. So, you know, this whole celebrity and piles of money changes your success rate wildly.
So somebody shared the clip on Twitter and wrote, "This is beyond crazy with Diddy, Jonah Hill, Russell Brand. This aged like milk." Another user commented, "They put that sick S right in front of us. This is so creepy, y'all." Anyway, just some gross stuff, just some new gross things and throw somebody else in the mix. I thought this was kind of interesting. Diddy's lawyers are seeking a gag order on everyone who might have an accusation or might be called as a witness or might be in any way involved in the trial because they do feel that it will it'll undermine his right to a fair trial because people are out there saying whatever they want about him and, you know, the court of public opinion. And it will be really difficult to find someone who hasn't been exposed to this and doesn't have feelings about
it. Right.
So, attorneys are saying we've got to keep potential witnesses quiet. There has to be a gag order. I don't know if that'll happen, but I actually don't disagree. I really do feel like everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's talking about it. I don't think that'll stop them, but if people aren't coming forward with their story that they're about to recite in court, that might be helpful for him or just helpful for, you know, to make sure that it's not called a mistrial because everybody knew every detail about everything. Anyway, there's that. This is sort of interesting. See what you think about this. John Legend, his manager's name is Ty Stiglorious.
What?
Ty Stiglorious. It's a woman. T-Y. T-Y Stiglorious.
Okay.
I'm probably butchering that, but she has written a piece for the New York Times on predatory, toxic music industry. The way that people conduct themselves in the music. She says it is not just like the occasional thing. She's like, this is the whole thing. Women aren't safe there. These are just her. This is her editorial.
All right. She's not talking about the groupie thing though. No. She's talking about in the business of music.
It's probably groupies too. She's saying women aren't safe on tour buses. Women aren't safe in the studio. Women aren't in the recording studio. Women aren't safe. So she just makes some points. It's a it's an interesting piece. I just have some clips from it here, little pieces from it. But she's written this piece for the New York Times. It extensively details, and she has been John Legend's, I guess she's his, I think she's his manager, Ty Stiglioris. For 27 years, she's managed this guy. So she's,
I've been around.
I feel like there's a person who has definitely seen it. She actually says she escaped from someone on a Diddy yacht 27 years ago. She said she actually talked her way out of the room. She's like, talked her way into getting that guy to unlock the door and let her out. And she was like, I really had no idea what might have happened until now. So Ty Stiglioris has written a piece for the New York Times that extensively details the music industry's, quote, pervasive predatory culture that, quote, actively fostered sexual misconduct and exploited the lives and bodies of those hoping to make it in the business. It is called The Music Industry is Toxic. After P. Diddy, we can clean it up. That's the title of this piece. She starts by describing this yacht party in St. Bart's that she attended 27 years ago. And she basically says, I was able to persuade an associate of Diddy to unlock a bedroom door and let me out. And I escaped. She said, at the time, I did not realize what I'd clawed my way out of. It was an indicator. Power's been concentrated in the hands of kingmakers, wealthy, entitled, nearly always male gatekeepers who control nearly every door that leads to success and who can, without consequence, use their power to abuse young women and young men. Here's her, here's that quote. Ty Stiglioris says, women have not been safe in recording studios, on tour buses, in green rooms, or in offices in the music business, and it isn't a bug of the industry, it's a major feature. After this arrest, some observers wondered whether the industry would face a hashtag MeToo reckoning. Stiglioris says, reducing the scourge of sexual coercion, harassment, and violence to a few notorious individuals, Harvey Weinstein, R. Kelly, suggests that they are outliers and obscures the more damning, stubborn, systematic rot that has infected the music business. Anyway, if that's a piece that interests you, that is right now on the in the New York Times.
That sounds way more business related than the Star Effer thing.
Yep.
Because that's still a very much a thing. And it's weird. I was reading an article about the Paul Stanley, of all people, from Kiss, was talking about their days as superstars. And he was saying, you might think that we were obnoxious about it, but we liked them and they liked us. And often they hung around and we went and saw movies during the day. And yes, we had sex with them and others, but we were not being mean or, you know,
nothing was non-consensual.
So is that okay? I don't know. It went on forever for those guys, though.
Yep.
Forever and ever and ever. I don't. So I guess she's very much specific to the business and not the star effort thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's kind of a groupie mentality and people who want to sort of get with celebrities in general. And that's its own thing. I mean, that can certainly, there's probably abuses that happen. We've certainly heard about some of that stuff with some of the bigger bands between the Motley Crues and the Zeppelins and, you know, others, plenty of others.
Oh, it's gone on, I'm sure, for all the modern day bands as well.
Maybe some of them are even shaking in their boots like, oh, I hope nobody, it's a good thing they didn't have video back in those days. Good thing I wasn't up on Instagram with that chick. Because I'm sure that it was not all above board. But yeah, this sounds like she's got kind of an insider view on this. And as a woman in the business, she's probably pretty well placed to make comments on
this. One of the things you hear a lot of artists have talked about forever is the abuse in the business just of the artist. That's not even, you know, male, female. It's just the artist comes in, unbeknownst to them, they've signed a terrible contract.
Right.
And they're also being offered all kinds of booze and drugs in order to stay
compliant,
oblivious to what's happening right underneath their nose, which is the money's being funneled other directions. You stay out on the road, have the time of your life. Meanwhile, the millions are not going into their bank.
Right. Oh, you're getting charged for everything from the rental of the bus to the gas to the setup. And what you think is you're making all this money and now you're paying everyone.
And everybody who gets into music hopes for those moments, but they don't realize that they're being scammed. They think, I spent 8 to 12 hours a day in my room learning this instrument and becoming the artist that I am today. For what?
I didn't exactly, you know, learn business savvy.
Right.
While
That's
I was
what I'm
learning
saying.
My
so
instrument.
So there needs to be.
Well, there need to be protections in place. And there just don't seem to be any. I have a J-Lo story here. It's sort of a Diddy aside. But I just thought, wow, I'm actually surprised she goes out at all right now. Like this would, if you have any affiliation, she had a lengthy affiliation with Diddy. I would be not going out and doing stuff. But she has a new movie called Unstoppable. Hold on, let me see if that. I don't think it's out until like January. Yeah, I don't see it on this list here. Oh yeah, there it is. I'm sorry. It's a movie called Unstoppable. It hits Prime Video on January 16th. And they did do some kind of a screening with a Q&A and she made an appearance at this thing over the weekend. This was Saturday night.
Nobody just bombed her with questions about Diddy?
Oh, no, they did.
Oh, they did.
That's what happened.
Oh.
I'm like, surprise. How are you not aware that this is going to happen?
Oh, okay.
But I did think to myself as I was reading the story, like, that is someone who I want to hear from. Like, you want to get in front of the public eye and maybe even get some support and tell the story. Sell this guy out. Maybe she signed something that she can't. Or I don't know what could possibly stop J-Hole from doing that, you know?
Why did they divorce in the first place?
Well, they weren't married. They just broke up.
No. I mean, Ben seems to have stepped back from her right as all this trouble's brewing.
I wonder. Although, I mean, when the getting's good, you stick around.
Do you?
Yeah, I think the getting had dried up.
The getting had dried up?
That's what I think. Yeah, I really do feel like, you know, they clearly got back together because he was like, oh, God, I get to do J-Lo again. And then they go through the two weddings and he's fully like, yeah, this is, I am. Woo. And she was all like, I don't feel like it. And he's all like, oh, my God, I just got hit with the reality bat. I got to go.
We don't even have kids and I don't get laid.
What about the times when we were just laying around all day in bed? That was so great. Nah, I got stuff to do. Bye. You're not love bombing me enough. So J-Lo was at a screening on Saturday night for her new movie Unstoppable, doing a Q&A. And so on her way out, there's some fans. And so she's signing some autographs and it surprise came to an immediate end when someone asked if she had any comments about Diddy. Her face fell and she walked away nah, 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 with her bodyguards. She has said, and I have not heard her talk much about their relationship at all.
Okay.
And I'm waiting for Oprah to get her hooks into it. I really want to hear all the details.
Oprah will get the answers. Is that what you're saying?
If anyone can. Okay. You know? People come clean with Oprah. J-Lo's previously said that their 2-year relationship, hers and Diddy, was, quote, emotionally exhausting and, quote, tempestuous. They dated from 99 to 01.
I don't know if you remember, but remember Suge Knight said that they showed Ben Affleck videos from Diddy and J-Lo, and that was one of the reasons for the split.
Oh, how exciting.
But I mean, it's according to Suge Knight.
You know, Suge says a lot from where he is.
He really does.
I really always feel like, wow, that guy he gets to, you know, put his 2 cents into the public discourse.
Yeah, he says FBI agents showed him to Ben, so.
Okay. You know what? Who would know better than Suge? Yeah. I can't think anybody.
Well.
Sure, it's true.
I mean, actors, people in Hollywood and even in the music business seem to be capable of all kinds of crazy. Like, I wouldn't be able to watch video of the person I'm with a nut. Like, that would just bum me out.
Well, with anyone else, and now it's Diddy and all the stuff you know about this guy.
Right.
You'd be oh, gross. I am outie.
There's a show called Ozark where the guy ends up, I don't want to spoil anything, but he ends up with a video that he shouldn't have of his wife with someone else. And he just can't stop watching it. And I just, my heart.
It's ruining him.
My heart hurts from it just watching those scenes because I think I wouldn't even be. I understand he's just trying to deal with it, but I wouldn't be able to. I'd just have to, whatever little piece I saw, that would almost be like two girls in a cup. Like the thing that where you just go, I can never, ever throw that away far enough from me. I can't get it. If you take that and shoot it to the moon, it's still not far enough because I can still see the moon.
There's the moon right there. And that's, it's on, I know, the moon, it's there.
And I feel like I wish someone would go up there, get it, and then kick it to the dark side at least. God. Anyway, I'm sorry for
your
Ben
feelings
if he had
are,
to watch
your feelings
that.
Are very strong.
Could you?
No.
You Chris. Could, couldn't you?
Maybe.
Could you watch John if you saw a video of John and anybody?
I certainly wouldn't want to, but I don't know, Ben. I feel like you don't know that stuff until you see it.
Oh,
like
I
you
know.
Might think, I can handle that. And then you find out, oh crap, I can't handle that.
What if you're watching John and you're like, that's the move he uses on me.
That one move.
That was our thing.
Just for me.
Oh.
I actually taught him that move.
Oh.
How dare he use that on someone else?
Ouch.
Here's some good news for Game of Thrones fans.
Yay.
I know.
Yuck.
I know. Vinny hates Game of Thrones
what?
So much. I know.
Game of Thrones was garbage. There were a million push episodes. And in the end, what did we get? Skunked.
Yeah, it was. The end was absolutely horrible. I will give you that. But I guess because I had read the books and I would still like to read the last two. Please don't die before you finish those, even though I know that's what's going to happen. George R.R. Martin. Hopefully some fan picks it up. Some really good writers. Like, I know what to do here. Anyway. There's a Game of Thrones movie series, it sounds like, in early development at Warner Brothers. They've been quietly putting this together with HBO. They're saying there's a lot of cross-pollination happening with both of these big fantasy, both of these production houses, big fantasy titles, and one of them is supposedly going to be Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. I know. You know, I'm not seeing any real details about this or if they're going to like do them one book at a time or something. Obviously, it's a full new casting. And
well, there's so much in that world that's in the books that wasn't in the show. So
oh, my
it
God,
could be all
so
kinds
much.
Of, so all
yeah.
kinds of things.
Well, and if they do it right, I mean, they could maybe get 20 movies out of this. I mean, they really could do it chapters at a time. Like,
yeah.
Did you know, and I did not know this until I read the story, that HBO said to the two Davids who were the guys, Benioff and Weiss, I think their names are, who did the original series, Game of Thrones. They said, forget the last season. Do three movies. We'll give you the budget to do three full-length movies, and we'll do them. We'll go to theaters with it, and it'll be epic, and we'll really do this thing right. And they were like, nah. We think we can squeeze the whole thing into six episodes for the last season and then be on to the next project, which makes me so angry.
Well, they also didn't have books to work off of for the last ones. I mean, so.
They clearly didn't throw it away.
You had a budget for writers who could, you know,
yes.
take that anywhere they wanted, and that's where they took it. Mm.
To Nowheresville.
To that place where you're all...
Let's end this as fast as we can.
I watched years of this thing to end up here.
I know.
Bran?
The more I think about it, the more it was like the whole series was about Daenerys and her trip between where she was and where she needed to be. I'm not talking to you, Siri. Thank you, though. Jesus. Like, seriously. That must be what I must have said seriously, and then Siri woke up. That's what that was supposed to be. And then she, in the last two, spoiler alert, in the last two episodes of the final season, she goes crazy, burns everything to the ground, and is murdered. I'm like, what? What just happened?
Well, don't forget, there was a Jon Snow thing happening there, which right? you're like, are they?
They
related?
Are. Mm-hmm.
Should they be doing that?
Well, when he found out they were related, he stopped, but then she was pissed, and that supposedly sent her over there. I'm like, nah, this is just not what... This is not it. She's been our girl the whole time, and then they just threw her away at the end. Do something different.
Bran.
I know, stupid guy. The Bran thing. Break. Go be the one-eyed raven, dude. Come on, off you go. Off you go. Go be a soothsayer. It's fine. All right, Vincent, what's coming up in the news?
When we started this show, and by the way, you can listen to the show via podcast if you're interested.
Hello.
On the Odyssey app. But we were talking about the decades and nostalgia, and I've got a story about that and more after these.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice.
You have a very nice day at work.
Alice at 97.3.
Okay, it's Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Hello and happy Monday. It looks bright, sunshiny, and lovely right out the window right there. That's okay. It's okay for a Monday. And 5K would be okay for a Monday, too. Fall into 5K a day all this week. We've got that for you. Just have the free Odyssey app. You download the free Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, spelled funny, Odyssey. Log in, listen to Alice for at least 1 hour, and you get your daily entry for your chance at $5,000.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by Fremont Bank. For the last 30 years, Fremont Bank Foundation has helped over 500 organizations in our Bay Area communities. Visit FremontBank.com today to learn more. Fremont Bank. It's beautiful out.
It is.
It's a beautiful, beautiful day.
Like crisp looking, isn't it? Just gorgeous.
Perfect. Blue sky. Sun's out. Sunny in 70 is the expected weather for the day. There'll be a little bit of breeze, which is normal for this time of year. But man, looking out the window.
Woo!
As we broadcast from Studio 9 in downtown San Francisco.
Hello.
How you doing?
Odyssey is right.
Okay, so it's election week. Yes, many of us have already voted, but tomorrow is the day we vote.
Mm.
49ers were off over the weekend, and Monday Night Football is Tampa Bay at Kansas City, 5:15 game time. Sarah has already promised us Taylor Swift.
I did.
Yay!
I haven't promised that. We looked. We don't know for sure. I promise you that she might be there.
She better be there.
Mm. Right. How are they going to get ratings for football without her?
Listen to this. On Saturday night,
yeah,
it was my daughter's birthday over the weekend. And on Saturday night, we took, I want to say, 11 of her friends, like a group of friends.
Gaggle of girls.
Actually, we didn't even take them. We went to the restaurant and then the parents all dropped the kids off for a couple hours. So it was, I don't know, 10 or 11, 11-year-olds, oof, all in one room. And there was a point, it's a little like, Christina tried to decorate it, but it was just really just a little side restaurant space that we got to use. And at one point I went, we should put some music on.
Mm.
And she goes, oh, right, let me get my, she pulls out her phone and I go, something mellow, how about Bob Marley? And she goes, you want to play Bob Marley for these kids? And I went, oh, right, Taylor Swift. And she goes, right. And put on Taylor Swift, wow, and put it in the corner. And of course, I have no idea what 11-year-olds want to hear. Duh!
So it was Bob Marley, I think, that really set the tone here.
I was looking for something just, you know, easy.
You got a Dio?
Something groovy. Something that wouldn't, you know, be an offense to anybody. And yet, of course, it's it's Taylor Swift.
It's always the answer.
Taylor is often the answer to every question.
Dur, George. Okay. Earlier today, we were talking about the decades,
yes,
and I mentioned that because of my daughter's birthday, someone gave her a Nirvana t-shirt, and I saw her wearing it and thought, I've never heard Nirvana coming out of your room once.
Right.
But okay, I like it, and I'm going to play them for you now, and then you're going to either go, oh, this is who they are? Yuck. Or
still, it's a cool shirt, so I'll still wear it.
Right. But either way, what I was thinking about is the 90s, I was there for that. And I got to see Nirvana multiple times. And I loved the 90s. And as I thought about the decades, I love all the decades, except after 2000, I don't really know what defines them besides technology.
Right. What do you hang your hat on for 2000 to 2010?
Now, the kids might be able to come up with stuff.
I'm sure they would.
So if they have specifics, that's great. I personally was thinking it's about phones and apps and websites and a lot less about bands, in my opinion.
Right.
Sir. And a lot less about clothing, you know, items. But I'm old. What do I know?
Right.
But you would also probably say, what was in the 2000s, that was the big changeover of home decoration. Like the TV shows started coming out with like hit shows were basically doing chores.
Yes.
We're going to remodel this house, everyone.
I love it.
You want to watch
that? In a half an hour, I can see the before and the after. And
was that the 2000s? Would you say that?
Feels like it.
And there were
maybe late 90s, but yeah, definitely There were so many too, like whole channels popped up around them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to say the first one was Trading Spaces, and it was on TLC, and then it became people started to get famous. Remember Ty Pennington? He got famous off of that show.
Yep.
And then they did a big home makeover show.
Oh my God, I used to love that show. That was ABC's Extreme Home Makeover, yeah. And I really did think to myself so many times, like, without ABC, these people just would have died. Like, how did they, because they would save these people's lives. And then we'd find out that they'd lose the houses because of taxes. The places would get rolled. Like, they'd either sell all the good stuff that was inside or they'd just get robbed. Oh, you put a TV in every room? Great. I'm coming. How many rooms in that house? Back the van up. We're going to go roll this place.
Is that real?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wasn't it? It was, made for great TV, but then there's like this Mondo mega house in the middle of kind of a depressed looking neighborhood.
Well, I was thinking, while that I do realize was part of it, I was thinking more along like the style trends were happening in the 2000s. Like, I don't know when gray became the only color anyone could use. Would that be the 2010s?
I don't know.
Anyway, and what is that farmhouse?
Modern farmhouse is the 20 teens.
A poll looked at the decades we're most nostalgic for right now, and 90s are number one, which would explain the Nirvana shirt my daughter had on at 24%. The 80s next at 22%. Very close, the 80s and 90s in terms of what people...
Stranger Things helped with that. My kids were like, oh, the 80s, they look so awesome. I'm like, really? Because you would have hated them. You'd have to leave your room, get on a bike, not have a computer.
Talk to people.
Right.
Play video games in a pizza parlor.
Right. You'd have to leave the house and play video games. Imagine that.
The 2000s are next, and I don't know what that would be.
Yeah, so what are they?
I don't have that on. They don't give me any.
I have some examples.
All right.
Some of the movies that they're nostalgic for are like High School Musical.
Oh, that was big.
The Game Plan, Twitches. I've never heard of
any. Never heard of those.
Senior Year, Ice Princess.
No, but some of that Disney TV programming was, aren't they the High School Musical people?
Yes.
There were so many of those. Those even took over, we went to Disneyland and they were doing a High School Musical parade in California Adventure. It's crazy. Cray cray.
So the eras that we're most nostalgic for, number one, the 90s, number two, the 80s, number three, 2000s, then the 70s, and then at number five, the 60s. The 2010s could pass the 60s soon, but I don't know what would be the 2010s.
And aren't we too close to the 2010s to be nostalgic for them already? Although I suppose it's young people nostalgia
back there than you think.
They're also nostalgic for Heelys. Remember Heelys?
I do. I liked Heelys.
I have a pair. I had a pair.
You had or you have? Which one?
I had a pair. I got a pair for Christmas. I got drunk.
But you were older. Yeah, you were drinking by then.
And
so you
I tried
grown
to bomb
up.
A okay. hill with them and it ended up hurt and never wore them again.
My kids had to have those. We were at the mall and this bunch of kids went by.
Heelys, if you don't know, they have a wheel.
In the heel.
In the shoe.
Yeah. And so you, like kids, they would put their feet sort of apart to balance themselves and then they'd kick off and what's better than the surface of a mall? So smooth.
Right.
I've got a list of things nostalgic from the 2000s that I'll put up on the Facebook page.
Okay, good. It also looked like the top 90s things were nostalgic for. The top fives are 90s music, 90s movies and TV shows, 90s video games, 90s fashion, and a tie between 90s sports and 90s toys. So it's more than just music, but for me, that's really all that.
That's interesting, though. It is. There are all different things you can be nostalgic for, I guess.
The 10 most searched slang terms in 2024. Now we're in modern day.
Okay. Things the kids are saying today.
Yes.
All right. Let's see if we can guess them, Maddie.
They're almost all references from social media.
Surprise.
Online shows, video games, memes, and chats.
So we're going to get zero of these.
Yeah, you'll get a couple.
It's time to play a game, Ben. Here we go.
10 most searched slang terms in 2024. Preen at number 10. Preen.
Well, I mean, preen is a word.
Oeuvre comes in at 9.
Oeuvre, you know who uses oeuvre? Is Nick Cage. I always hear him talking about his. It's like genre, but it's I don't know.
Never heard of it.
Oeuvre is a body of work.
Yeah.
Like an artist's body of work. Okay. So in
your
the case of like Madonna, it would be all her records, but also include what movies she's done,
and videos,
any other videos.
Right, sure.
That would be her oeuvre.
Right. What she's brought to the table. Hey, so back to Preen. Is that just like looking good, looking demure, looking thoughtful?
Well, by the way, you just said number one.
Oh, demure?
Demure is number one. The
How are these slang terms, though? This is just, you know.
They're just words.
Yeah.
Well, not preen. What is preen?
Preen is like, you know, when you're preening in front of a mirror, you know, you're like looking at your butt. I don't know what it is in this slang world.
I don't have it either. Oh. Preen, I think of as just being yes.
Kind of vain and like, you know.
Well, you're
preening for a camera.
Checking yourself out.
Yeah, checking your look in the mirror.
Preening for the.
Yep.
Cats. K-A-T-Z. Cats.
Oh, as in Dr. Katz?
I don't know that one either.
I got that one.
Oh, here's cats.
Are we looking these up?
Anything that is pleasing or pleasurable to one's liking.
Oh, that's cats?
Cats. Okay. That's cats.
Candy is cats.
Sen.
Candy is cats. Sen?
S-E-N, sen. Do you know it?
Is it sensational? Is it sensual? Is it sensitive?
Slang term sen is used to refer to oneself. For example, I will do that me sen.
Okay.
Could that be wrong? That's got to be wrong.
I don't know about it. And I'm definitely not in touch with the children.
It is true. It's used to refer to oneself.
Schmaltz. These are the most searched slang terms in 2024. For the record, I only looked these up today. I don't know. I'm not hearing them quite as much as maybe the rest of you are. Schmaltz.
I feel like schmaltz has always been around. No?
Maybe it's just used more now.
Maybe.
Schmaltz is like...
cheesy. Extra.
Overly enthusiastically emotional.
Oh.
You know? I think. Schmaltzy, like, it's not a compliment.
According to our AI overlords, it's too much sentimentality or sappiness in art or music.
Oh, he's too schmaltzy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that I don't think of it as like you wouldn't be saying that about something you liked. You
no,
would be saying
no,
something
no.
like, ugh.
Right. I thought it was like cheesy.
Sobriquet.
Oh, I've heard that word.
Okay, tell me everything.
I don't know.
But you heard it.
I've heard the word. But these, it's funny how, like, things take on S-O-B-R-I-Q-U-E-T or something.
Yeah,
like
that's
that.
It. A descriptive nickname or title given to someone or something, often in place of their real name, like, except you wouldn't, I guess, if you called a big guy tiny, that wouldn't be right. You'd have to call them big guy. Yo,
so
Jumbo.
You're saying it's a nickname.
That's
like
descriptive
you might call
of self.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good example.
Hey big skinny. Guy.
Oh, thank you.
Right.
First, thanks for calling me skinny.
It's often used in place. It's a nickname often used in place of a real name.
Like Febreze. Yeah. It's very descriptive.
Yeah, you're breezy.
La, 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 la. Breezy.
You know what?
Nice.
I just want to say
smells
that
good.
I did this to myself. You know what?
To your sen, I think is what you mean.
Don't like that so much.
It's your sobriquet.
Hoctua comes in at number four.
Hoctua.
Oh,
Skibbity comes in at number three.
Oh, yeah, Skibbity. This
it's
is Skibbity
that?
Toilet.
Skibbity is just that video that's become a thing. I've watched it to understand.
So why do people use Skibbity in conversation?
No idea. They're just slang terms, really.
It's a wacky adjective. A Skibbity can be used to describe something as cool, bad, or dumb.
Oh. So it's like huckabuck.
It's a Skibbity.
That's I throw that in wherever. Sigma comes in at number two.
Oh, like Sigma, the Greek letter?
Hold on. I have that one for you as well. Let me see here. Sigma. Where did that go?
I've got
I lost it. Yeah, help.
It's a man who is popular, successful, or independent, but also prefers to be alone. A lone wolf.
Yeah.
Oh, Sigma.
That seems to be the way of the young people today.
I can hang with people, but I prefer my own company, my own sen.
I like being Sigma, but you know what's unfortunate is I also like girls, and I end up liking, if I hang with someone for long enough, I end up really liking them.
Then you're anti-Sigma.
Then I find myself going, I guess, we're a thing now. And then...
And I'm no longer, I'm Sigma no longer. Now I'm schmaltzy.
And demure is number one.
Demure.
On the list of most searched slang terms, everyone. Now you're current. Our text number
I do like the
is
word demure.
You do?
I like the word. When I first started hearing demure, I was thinking of like, you know, geisha girls. Like, remember the? Do you ever read? Is it called Tales of a Geisha? Or it's the they made it into a movie too. But it was just this story of this geisha and how she was trained and what her life was like, and it was all about, you know, you want to be intriguing and demure.
It's Memoirs of a Geisha.
Memoirs of a Geisha. Yeah.
800-400-3697. Here's a few of the things that you guys had to say.
Okay.
Martha Stewart was the original person on TV we watched do chores.
Yeah, I guess so.
She built a...
She did build an empire.
That's the word I was looking for.
I just watched that documentary on Netflix about Martha Stewart. It's really good.
Really?
Yeah. And you don't realize like how innovative. She was the first DIY person, really, you know, that was in modern. It's really good. It is.
Because she did do it all, right? Though. You know, she gardened and she redecorated. But she also cooked. I mean, she was like the homemaker, the consummate homemaker.
Yes.
She made everybody feel bad about how little they were doing.
They talk about that as well, about her negative impact on society.
Mm-hmm. I definitely have felt lacking.
Uh-oh.
Oh, what is happening here? Vinny sees something that's really upsetting.
Someone has
upset Vinny.
Well, no, I'm not upset. I mean, it's one of those things where you go, oh my goodness. Our text number again, 800-400-3697. We were talking about J-Lo and Diddy in the earlier trash segment, and it came up that there's possibly video of her, and what if Ben saw that video? Who was it?
Suge Knight said the FBI showed the stuff to Ben, and that's why Ben took off. What do you have there?
And from that, I was expressing that I don't think I could see my person with another person.
Right.
I'd never not be able to... I just wouldn't.
Even if it was like before you were together, you wouldn't be able to just.
I mean, I guess, but I still don't want to ever. I don't. I just don't. I understand. Maybe that's childish, but I just don't. I don't want to see it.
No.
Well, and I know there are other.
There, like, it is in your head.
A friend of ours that we know is like, it would be so hot to see my person with another person. That would be the hottest thing. No, no. That's not hot.
I feel like it's that person's desire to be with other people, and so they want to green light the person that they're with. We're talking about Scott Capurro.
Invite them to the hot tub.
415 says, found pics of my soon-to-be ex-husband giving kisses in Australia to men.
Oh.
Wish I could unsee.
Oh. Oof. Well, I mean, at least you know it's not you. You don't have to ask the reason on that one.
Yeah, that is true.
Oh,
good point.
I get it. You're gay. Oh. All right. Well, that hurts slightly less, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, you were all in, and
thanks
now.
Thanks for the kids. Bye.
Right. What's coming up in the trash, Sarah?
Find out if you're eligible to date Olivia Rodrigo with one simple question.
Okay, we have a real problem here.
Wake up! You're waking up with Sarah and Vinny.
Freaking amazing.
Alice at 97.3.